Darrell Revis is, I think you can make the argument, and it's a pretty easy one, the greatest New York Jet ever. Joe Klecko was considered that before you. Two-time Pro Bowler, the premier lockdown corner in the NFL in what's become a passing league. Incredibly valuable. I asked you during the break, I said, you know, you went to Pitt instead of the national power Penn State.
Right.
How come you didn't go to Penn State?
I didn't go to Penn State because, we went up there on an unofficial visit, me and my mother, and, I was sleeping in the car. So when I wake up, you know, I see all this land, you know, just all this farmland. I'm like, where are we at? She was like, we're in Penn State. I said, oh, I'm definitely not coming here. So it was just something, man. I just didn't like the farmland, and I didn't like being out there.
You know, it's interesting. You had to guard at the end of the year. You had to guard Vince Jackson in the divisional playoffs in San Diego. And Vincent, apparently on the drive to the stadium, got pulled over by cops because he was jamming on his stereo, and they wouldn't let him drive his car. So Philip Rivers, he was basically a hitchhiker, and Philip Rivers had to take him to the game. You were talking about Vincent Jackson in pregame before the game, something happened.
Right. Well, you know, me and Vincent Jackson has the same agents too, and you know, I always hear rumors about Vincent. He's tall. He's 6'5", 6'6". And I was like, yeah, right. You know. So we played them in the divisional playoffs, pregame, you know, the secondary, we're running out, and I just see these tall trees out there. Vincent Jackson, Malcolm Floyd, they're about 6'5", 6'6". I looked to my defense secondary coach. I said, we're not covering these guys today, are we? He was like, yeah, get ready. I'm like, come on now. These are like basketball players. They're like basketball players out there.
And Antonio Gates. I mean, so San Diego was a huge, huge win for you guys. What was it like to be the ultimate underdog? Nobody gave the Jets a chance. Did you guys hear the media? Were you hearing what we were saying?
A little bit. You know, Rex brought a little bit of stuff to us. But I'll just take it to the game where, you know, they were clowning us pregame, you know, saying we don't belong here, saying we suck. And we got a little bit upset about that, and we lost to those guys.
Rex Ryan's a very colorful guy, and he's just, you know, he's incredibly likable. When he first got there, he's different than other coaches. I mean, he's not Tom Coughlin like. Did it take a while? I mean, did you love him instantly?
Instantly. The guy came in joking, but being very confident, and we fed into that. Real fast, and you know, got used to the guy. I mean, the guy, he's a player coach, but also a hard-nosed coach at times.
When you look at the NFL, we had Brian Dawkins on yesterday. 15 years in the NFL.
Long time.
That's a long, and he's a physical player.
Right.
As an NFL player who's the best in the league at their current position, what do you envision? What would be a good career?
I think my goal is for a good career is to get past 10 years first, 10 plus years, and then see how your body can take for the next couple years of you playing football.
How do you feel now?
I feel great.
You're a young guy, so your body's in great shape. You go to Fort Lauderdale, hang out in the off season, get to my which, by the way, is about 45 degrees today too. So it's but right now you're not feeling any effects of being banged around in the NFL in the playoffs.
No. I feel great right now. My body's good, and I think I do a good job of taking care of it.
You do something interesting. Is you're a cerebral cornerback, and we've talked about this before. I read it in the New York Times. You watch a ton of tape.
Yes.
Now people just think I'm fast and I go cover somebody, but you watch a lot of tape.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch tape, I was fascinated by what you saw. Tell people what you see.
Basically, when I watch film, the biggest thing I do is, you know, body language. I watch these receivers day in and day out. I got some tells on some receivers. I'm not going to tell their names. But some receivers, you know, they might grab their gloves, you know, tighter. You know, that tells that they're getting the ball. You know, they might have their left foot up on the line of scrimmage. Tells you that they run mostly inside routes. It's just a lot of things that, you know, you got to look at to try to get an edge on these guys.
And it's just they don't know they're doing it.
No. You know, my coach always told me, my secondary coach in college, Paul Rose, he's the head coach at Iowa State right now. he always told me people tell tales. I mean, these guys have been doing the same, you know, actions since they were 7 years old playing Pop Warner. So it's the same thing, but I'm not going to tell those guys until, you know, I retire, and then I'll tell Chad Ochocinco how I used to beat him on the field.
The Darrell Rivas joining us of the Jets. It's The Herd on ESPN Radio. Is he the biggest trash talker?
Yes, he is. He's probably the best in the game. Well, him and probably Bart Scott, my teammate. Bart Scott in the locker room, he rants and raves about every little thing. You know, if a pin drops, he's talking about the pin.
Sure.
You know, if you need somebody need to tie their shoe, he's talking about tying the shoes.
Right.
He's just always running his mouth.
Like, what does Ocho say during the course of a game?
You know, Ocho says, you know, he tries to get in your head a funny way. You know, we'd be out on the field. He's like, hey, what you eat for breakfast this morning? He'd be like, who cares? Like, I don't care what I ate. Like, why are you trying to get in my head so I can't focus on shutting you down today?
So he's just bringing up stuff.
Yeah, just stuff throughout the game. And just try to get your mind off the game.
When you're in New York, it's a huge baseball city, obviously.
Yes.
And it's also a huge NFL city. Is it harder to play in New York because of the media and you become famous and you get on the cover of magazines?
Well, I'm not on no magazine, so I didn't reach that level yet. But the media, it's tough. It can be tough on you. I mean, we lose, they're on us. You know, if we win, everybody's happy. But I just think you just have to be a strong individual and be tough about it.
Do you watch TV? What's it like to watch people talk about you?
I really don't. You know, when I get home, I really don't watch that much of SportsCenter and things like that. But, you know, this is something new for me. You know, this is only my third, you're finishing up my third year. I have been on TV more, you know, this year than in the past. So it's just something that, you know, you go for with it. But, I mean, it is what it is. I really don't care what people say.
The Sports Business Daily says that Arizona has pulled out of the 2014 Super Bowl due to the poor economic climate. And that means, as a result, the only remaining bidders for the 2014 Super Bowl are Tampa, Miami, and New York. And the clubhouse leader is the new Giants Stadium, the open-air facility, which is covered right now in snow. So I'm not a huge fan of cold weather Super Bowls, but it looks like New York is the clubhouse leader. Two-time Pro Bowler joining us, Darrell Rivas. Are you a roller coaster guy?
Yes. I'm going to get on some later on. I heard the Tower of Terror.
Oh, I almost vomited last year. You'll enjoy it. it's a little much. As you get older, there's something.
So I got to bring a garbage bag? Or?
Yeah, there's something. My daughter can go on them all day, but as you get older, something happens to your neurons or something, and you just... It really beats you up. Now, as a kid, did you go on them?
Yes. You know, I'm from Pittsburgh, so we used to go to Kennywood. It was a theme park called, and they had some big rides. And they have the Pitfall. I think it's just like the Tower of Terror.
Well, you'll enjoy it. Now, this year with the Jets, speaking of terror, Mark Sanchez at one point, the reports came out that they were having to label plays, you know, red, orange, yellow, and all that stuff. When it was really bad for Mark, when he was struggling, and you're a young player. I mean, you're 3 years in this league now.
Right.
When he was really struggling, did you try to help him? Were people trying to help him, or were they letting him sort of grow himself?
No, I think the best thing we had to do as coaches and as players is, you know, just pat him on the back and tell him that, you know, everything's going to be all right. Learn what you can learn and improve as much as you can, and we have all the support for you.
And did he seek help? Did when you're struggling and costing your team games, because the defense was great and Mark lost a couple games, was he beating himself up?
Yes, he was. You know, Mark Sanchez is one of the biggest competitors, you know, on our team. And actually on the plane, we sat right next to each other. So he would go through plays and be talking to me and, you know, oh, I should have did this on that player. I should have did that. And, you know, I'll always tell him it's going to be, you know, okay, just don't beat yourself up that bad. Just get the corrections from the film and move forward.
How long does it take you, like when you broke into the league, 2007, 14th pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're the best cornerback in the entire league. When did you know? Like go back to your first, because you always kind of wonder,
right,
am I going to be good in the NFL? Because a lot of guys with.
Right.
So, like, was there a moment, an epiphany, when you thought, I'm going to be okay?
You know, my rookie year, you know, I felt like a bobblehead. I felt like a Mickey bobblehead. You know, my head was spinning around. The terminology was different. The learning curve was kind of different, too. The game was faster. I think after coming into my second year, I felt that I was one of the best, but I needed to get that respect.
Sure.
And, I started progressing of trying to get that respect a little bit from receivers. You know, receivers would tell me after the games, you're a great player. Keep on improving. And then in my third year, I think probably after like the third or fourth game, I was like, I think I'm the best.
Yeah.
And it just moved forward, and I just, you know, have to maintain that and, to make sure I stay on top.
By the way, now that you are considered the best, the guys joke about it with you.
Yeah, all the time. You know, you're going to get that from the locker room guys. You know, guys, Darrell this, Darrell that, he's the best. He don't have to do nothing, coach. You know, they'll just joke around with things like that. So.
Yeah. So now, you know, when you look at the big picture of the NFL and the Jets next year, and they're obviously going to be good because the defense is good, and you're always going to be in games. Right. And as long as Mark, and you have a great offensive line, probably right. Most underrated unit in the NFL. Do you look at it next year and think, we're kind of a Super Bowl team, or we won't be happy?
Actually, I think we've been trying to built the Super Bowl team since my second year. You know, we brought Alan Faneca in, former Super Bowler, Damon Woody in, offensive lineman, Super Bowler at the Patriots. So we're just trying to put the pieces to the puzzle as much as we can. And we felt that bringing Braylon Edwards in from Cleveland was the finishing touches, you know, somebody that Mark Sanchez can throw to. And, you know, the offense can lead us, you know, into the Super Bowl to win it.
What other sports besides football are you active in?
Basketball. I play a little bit of basketball. Had a couple scholarships coming
like
out
where?
Of high school. Western Kentucky, Akron, Miami, Ohio, D1 schools, but not North Carolina or your Duke.
Could you have played football anywhere in the country? What were you getting, like, the big guys coming after you?
I didn't get the Miamis or you know, the USC's. I got more so of the – I was a late bloomer, I think, coming out of high school. I got the West Virginias, the Penn States, Michigan. That was okay, but they wasn't – you know, Michigan told me it was out of me or Leon Hall. So they just told me to commit now or, you know, I'm not going to have a scholarship. And I didn't feel comfortable with those guys.
So why were you a late bloomer?
Because I scored 5 touchdowns in my state championship game and we won.
And so everybody was like, who's the dude?
Yeah, they was like, who is this guy coming on the scene?
So really, you in high school, you didn't get, that was the big moment.
Yeah, that was the big moment.
Were you a running back?
I was a utility player. I played everything, quarterback, tight end. Every time I moved around, they threw me the ball or I ran the ball.
Could you, if you didn't play cornerback, could you do something else in the NFL? Do you believe?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, wide receiver.
You could be a wide receiver?
Yes, yeah. One-on-ones in practice with DBs, I crush them all the time. I'm mossing them, I get physical with them, throw them off me, yeah.
They always say cornerbacks are receivers who can't catch. That's what they always say. They always say basically that a tight end is a lineman who can catch.
A little bit, with a little bit more ability. But, you know, I think I got hands. I got 8 interceptions this year, so.
That's good. You had that amazing interception against San Diego when you were lying on the ground.
Right.
Was that the best moment? Was that the best play in your career?
Yeah, by far the best play. I don't know how it happened. I can run you through the play. I mean, the ball is in the air. Vincent Jackson had the ball in his hands. I came through his hands and knocked it up. And for some reason, I kept my eye on the ball. I seen it falling down on the ground, and then I seen it in his foot. And it landed right in my chest.
What's it like to face Peyton Manning? Is he better than most?
He's the best. He's the best. I don't know. I probably have to say of all time. I mean, I know I haven't played against the Joe Montanas and the John Elways, but this guy, just how he operates his offense, the play clock, you know, just the things that he do. He audibles to put his offense in the best position. I mean, there's 4 or 5 or 6 audibles at one time.
Yeah, he's kind of manipulating the game. He's like a coach out there.
Cheating.
Yep, Darrell Revis, 2-time Pro Bowler.